Monroe City Council meeting for February 7th, 2012 to order. Ask for meeting. We take the roll call, please.
Councilperson Yes.
Here.
Back.
Yes.
Williams. Camp.
Present.
Davis.
Present.
Gamble.
Here.
Hanford.
Here.
I did receive word from Councilman Williams that we might be 20 or so minutes late this evening. Late conference call with India. Okay, please join me for the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mr. Farrell, you are first here tonight on announcements, and was hoping that you might just give us a real brief description of what you were able to gain on behalf of the city and the school district.
Sure. Thank you, Doug. Good evening, Council. As some of all of you may recall, last year, Council supported the Snohomish County Tourism Promotion Area Program, where lodging entities in Snohomish County collected a fee, and basically that was the fund that was made available to entities, whether it's organizations that put on events, that draw people, that generate overnight stays. That's like the big criteria for that. Well, last December was the first round of grant funding opportunities for that, and I wrote a grant on behalf of the City of Monroe in partnership with the Monroe School District in requesting $200,000 to help for phase development of all-weather athletic fields at Monroe High School. So some of you may know there are three undeveloped ball fields at the high school, and we need to generate some funds to get those going. And the city and the school district have an ongoing school park agreement where we share facilities and whatnot. And a good example of that is over at Lake Todd. So this is another example of where the city and the school district partner to share and a shared goal to get those skills to come to the school benefit you also as well. So anyways, last week, I received notification by phone by the director of the grant program that we are being recommended for full funding of $200,000. That's great news. And that's from the board, and they'll verify that the city county council, they approve that. So we'll be doing that in the next couple weeks. So I think we'll receive written confirmation of that as well. So that's great news. And that really just kind of gets the ball rolling on getting those skills in place.
And Michael, don't leave just for a minute here. I wanted to recognize Mike Farrell. I thought this was a great opportunity to do that because Mike has really accomplished something that's going to have a huge impact for our school district as well as our community as hopefully the matching funds and additional funds can be created to improve those ball fields. So I thought it was a great time to just recognize Mike for his efforts in that. However, that's not all. I think Mike needs to also be recognized for the outstanding job that he and his department had done last year, and I failed to do that, quite frankly. And so I wanted to use this time to not only recognize him for the efforts that he's done in obtaining the grant, but also just recognize him for the efforts that he and his department and the specialists that they have within our practice department did last year in hosting, as you well know, several huge venues that were hugely successful in the city of Monroe. And last year, we talked about them often, but we didn't talk about the people who really were behind the scenes. And Mike, that was you and your department and the people that Additionally, tonight, the staff here at City of Monroe are also being recognized in a different way, and that is really having a gracious heart. And they're not recognized enough, I think, for the things that they do on a daily basis, so there was no way that I was going to miss out on an opportunity to read a letter and also present to staff an award that has been given to us by the United Way. So first, I just want to read the letter here that I received. Mayor, we're pleased to celebrate and acknowledge the results of your 2011 United Way employee campaign. Your employees raised a total of $27,750. Sherry Hurst, your employee campaign manager, once again provided the leadership and commitment to make this year's campaign a success. Given the current economic conditions, it is heartwarming to know when the need is greatest, people of Snohomish County respond with open arms and extreme generosity. These are challenging times, and your continued commitment and support are most appreciated in helping us improve lives in Snohomish County. It is our pleasure to recognize the City of Monroe and among our continuing supporters. By, quote, living united, we can together make this community truly great for everyone. Thank you so much to the employees for your generosity. Best regards, Jerry Johnson, campaign executive. And so, with that said, we have a little gold award here this evening, and this will be hung with much pride. Hats off to the staff, to all those who contributed this year to United Way. Thank you very much. Lastly, here under announcements and presentations, we have the opportunity this evening to affirm or confirm an appointment to the Planning Commission. That I'm bringing before the City Council is former council member Bridget Tuttle. Bridget met with both myself, Paul Papalka, and Jeff Sachs. Sat down for about an hour, I think it was, roughly, and had some very good conversation. Bridget has been long active in the community through many different venues or avenues. Most recently, as said, serving on a appointed position at Redwood, for the City Council. When asked why she would like to serve on the Planning Commission, one of the things she said is that she liked the more casual discussion that they have on the Planning Commission, and looked forward to being able to be part of that. She felt it would be a better fit for her in terms of her style and in terms of her characterization of the
personality.
Thank you. And so, with that said, I don't think I've done this in the past, but was it anything you like to say before council this evening? No? See, she gets in front of council, and you guys just terrify her. But I think the opinion was unanimous between the three of us that Bridget would serve proudly, serve well the community of Monroe on the Planning Commission. So at this time, I would like to entertain a motion, if I may, to confirm Mayor's appointment of Bridget Tuttle to the Planning Commission.
So second?
Hey,
all three of them.
Well, I think the motion was Senator Gamble, and seconded, I know, by Councilmember Hanford.
Thank you.
Councilwoman, any comments, questions? Okay, with that said, all those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Well, welcome, and thank you for your service. Appreciate it.
I'm going to clap.
At this time, we'll then move on to comments from citizens. this time is set aside for you to speak to the city council on any issue except in front of judicial matter subject to a public hearing. You're welcome to address the council on any other subject. We would ask that you provide your name and address for the record if you would, and please limit your time to 5 minutes. I do have one individual signed up at this time, and that is Vicky Moore.
Sorry about that. Just so far that way.
Vicky Moore, 10312206, East Village, Washington, 9816. I have been out of town for the last 3 weeks, so I've been on a few things. Part of that time was scheduled. Other was because of the snow down at the airport at SeaTac, so I have made some promises to bring this brochure to you all, and I haven't gotten it done until tonight, but it has been done for a little while. It's was a gatefold that was done with the interior map, and these are the current businesses in Monroe. They're color-coded to what part of downtown is where we're in. It was done with lodging tax money, so thank you very much. 10,000 of them were printed out. This is 2011's money that was kind of had not gotten used. I pulled it together the last 2 weeks of December, not then. The Chamber of Commerce, the Visitors Information Center, will take the majority of these, and they'll be sending them out. That was part of two to go to, other Visitors Information Centers around the state, also in anywhere that you can see all the information on what to do, kind of thing. In relation to, this is a bit of a review over a previous one. There are some new pictures, that kind of thing, we're able to incorporate. The adventure starts here on it, because that was right at the time we were doing it the first time. We did get a picture of the late boarding on the back. We also mentioned some of the events on the very back that are the types of things that I believe that the mayor was speaking to about Mike Farrell, of the types of events that had taken place in Lake Tai in the past. Incorporated a little bit about the fairground, shows where Monroe is located in relationship to Washington State, and where it's in relation to our map. And then made sure that we went ahead and acknowledged that it was part of the hotel tax. As coming here, we've also already received grants to do something similar, but we will take on a whole different, this is kind of suggestions and help on spending the next amount of map and not a type brochure. We want to have it different than this, so we'll be looking for that. The other thing that's happened, there had been planned, and I was going to attend on January 19th, a meeting that was going to have a lot of the different stakeholders within the downtown. We were going to get together, try to do a yearly calendar, try to make sure that we weren't done, we kind of knew what others were doing, what other groups were doing, plans. That meeting was canceled. One, I was snowed out getting into SeaTac, and two, my careful world had so much snow around here that everything was kind of canceled. It was a Thursday meeting. Anyway, so that's being rescheduled now, and we're trying to do that as soon as we can. As soon as that's done, I'll make sure that I make you all aware of updates we have for general meetings, what events might be taking place, either sponsored by Dream or if I'm the chamber or anyone else. Any events happening within the downtown, we're hoping to work with everyone and work in a cooperative fashion with anything that's happening down there. So, and it sounds like there are lots of things that the city has been talking about, so we would be able to take care of those and see what we can do. We've always moving out without putting a plug in, but we still have a sub-area plan for downtown on the table. I'd like to see some funding on that and some parking. That's about helping out. If anybody has any questions or needs to get a hold of me, I'm always here.
Thanks, Vicky.
Most represents Dream. Also want to take note that we have a couple members of our chamber here this evening, whom I invited particularly for this evening's discussion. I think that all three will be, I don't see anybody else, pleasantly surprised with the discussion this evening as it relates to business and downtown specifically. So, okay, I do not have anybody else signed up.
My name's Joel Phillips. I'm here for the Fire Department of Milwaukee, and I'm here to talk about the tanks and bring them back into the chambers. And when I look at the bill that I paid for a Comcast, it's a franchise fee that the city, I believe, puts on. I believe there's enough money there to divert those funds to pay for the cameras alone. And let's see, you need some upgrades to the technology in here too. So, and it's $3.07 the franchise fee. So, that's all I have to say. I thought I could just help out in that aspect as in getting the funds together and actually bring the cameras back in. So, thanks.
Thank you. Is there anyone else in the audience that would like to address council at this time? As always, I'd like to leave the floor open, even though we don't have anyone signed up. I do want to point out that we do have four individuals here in the front row tonight who are from the Planning Commission. We are waiting for the confirmation, and we will be taking roll for the Planning Commission. But we're going to do that during the joint period of the meeting. So, didn't want to feel ignored. So, thank you for joining us. Well, we'll move on from comments from citizens then to the consent agenda. And anything to be pulled, or do I have Councilman Green?
Motion to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
A motion has been made by Councilmember Gearing and seconded by Councilmember Cutback to approve the consent agenda. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Well, we do have on the agenda this evening an executive session scheduled. This is a closed session, which is pertaining to pricing of the property. City Attorney Lowe.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The purpose of the executive session is to consider the minimum price at which real estate will be offered for sale or lease and public knowledge regarding such consideration because of likelihood of decreased price. The statutory basis for the executive session is RCW 4230.110.1c. The executive session is anticipated to last approximately 10 minutes, and the council will take action in open session when it reconvenes.
Okay, well, with that said, appreciate patience from the audience, but we'll be going into executive session. All right, well, we are back in regular session. Thank you again to the audience for your patience. Council, I'd like to read a motion, if I may, with regards to action on your behalf. Entertain this motion if I as recommended by our city attorney. My motion was read, I move that the city council authorize the mayor to execute the agreement of purchase and sale with Monmouth LLC Next Corp in substantially the form presented to council, together with such minor modifications or revisions that the mayor may in his discretion make and or negotiate.
So moved.
Second.
All right. Motion has been made by Councilmember Gearing, seconded by Councilmember Cutback. Any further comments or discussion? So moved. All right. Seeing no lights. All those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Please indulge me here for a minute. Jane, I'd like to get out the door with some signed agreements, so I'm going to take a moment here to do that. Good. to officially welcome those members of the planning commission who are here this evening to join us for a joint session of the planning commission and city council. And so at this time, I'd like to ask Edie if you might roll call for the planning commission.
Planning Commissioner Woods.
Here.
Marvin.
Here.
Miller.
Here.
Pellet.
Here.
Christensen. Sherman.
So welcome to those who can join us, this evening. As we've done in the past, we've really strived to meet with the planning commission on a regular basis. We were only twice, I believe, last year together. Thought that it would be great to have you join us with us on this evening's meeting because of the some of the visions that would be laid out, some of the options that would be laid out by Brad Cloudberg, Jeff Sachs, and Paul Bronca. In addition to that, we have quite a lengthy work program for you this year that we'd also like to have the opportunity to have some dialogue between both planning commission and council. And if there's any questions that the planning commission might have of council with regards to direction or whatever, this would be the opportunity to do that. Or if there's anything that the council would like to inject into with regards to the workload in way of vision or direction or whatever, this would be the opportunity to do that as well. So with that said, welcome to Chairman Lutz and the rest of the members, and should we have you introduce yourself? Let's do because we've got three new members on council tonight, and I'd like to have them be familiar with whom we're conversing. So,
Chairman Lutz, and this is Commissioner Robin, Commissioner Demers, and our newest member is Commissioner Tuttle. And we're glad to be here discussing things. I think there were only two things that we really wanted to do. Maybe get you caught up on, and looking forward to anything else you may have for us.
Any of the other members of the planning commission like to share? Very good. Well, we have before us, to say the least, today, I think, lengthy, or an opportunity to have a lengthy discussion because there's going to be a lot laid out this evening with regards to some long-term vision as well as some things that we'll be considering, hopefully, or bringing before planning commission short-term as well. I'd like to just start out by saying that tonight, members of the audience, and the commissioners, and council members may be hearing some things a little different than what we've seen in the last 10 years. And I'd just like to caution everybody to say that change is not necessarily bad or evil, but it may be necessary. And so with that in mind, we'll move forward in both the presentation this evening and then on along to our discussion with the Planning Commission. So I will now turn over the podium to Brad Butler. And Councilmember Gehring, if I don't mind, could you move forward down the screen there? We're going to have a little bit. There's a line. Is that work, or do we need these off as well?
We want to start a time off with a brief overview. We're going to turn it over to the council and the commissioners to discuss what we're bringing up. The vote of the staff is necessary to keep moving forward to rebuild the vitality of the realm. What we'll begin the second half of this year on the 2015 period of updates of comprehensive plan, and by the way, that will not need completed until the very end of 2014. In the meantime, we'd like to make some changes that will take advantage of interest that's being shown in the world. These changes we'd like include directly comprehensive plan to focus on policy and implementing regulations in the new municipal code. Clarifying the intent of the transportation plan for problematic areas such as Blueberry and Kelsey intersection and continuation of term in place. Correcting the shortfall of the 2025 housing target of approximately 1,000 dwelling units and adjusting the sign code to enhance marketing for existing and future businesses. As you can see on the screen, there are a number of projects or potential projects depending on council direction in the works to present an opportunity to boost the Rose economy. For example, we have a sale of the Rose Kelsey property, which is in the green patch area there. The residential redevelopment of the urban floor, which is the yellow areas underneath it, and then just put my pointer just from the middle of the park. Can't see that part. In the center there, you know, highlighted areas, the highway to bypassing green, orange, and red, the term in place extension in the light blue, and the Fremont Street improvements in the purple, and the Hill Street extension in the purple on the left. I'm committee member of Port Department and economic development manager Jeff Sachs will now look for some of the details of what these proposals mean and how they can be implemented.
Development the what we call the urban core, just west of downtown. This strategy is really about, I guess, trying to refocus some resources, possibly refocus some efforts toward the downtown area. And in my mind, it's within the context of having a strong, vibrant downtown. I would challenge anyone here to find a good, vibrant community that does not also have a vibrant parking downtown. It's just very difficult to have one without the other. And we have the makings of a very, very good downtown in this community. But what we're looking at, that Tyler Major with downtown Metropolitan Crew, part of that suggested a couple of projects. One was the Fremont extension. There you go. Several blocks of Fremont has to be upgraded, utilities, streetscape, and so forth. I think that's about the first significant capital project to be invested downtown. The other is that plan suggested a, what's called, they call it a festival lot, a civic gathering place, where people can gather together, different kinds of events, different festivities, different activities, give anything from basketball to car show. Objective being to bring more people downtown, give people a reason to be downtown. We're going to cover key elements of what we're talking about tonight and trying to potentially refocus some of that effort to that downtown area and trying to promote more activity, more development in the downtown core. The other flip side of that is in this in our urban core, some of our urban neighborhoods, to do with this projected shortage of dwelling units. According to the last report we had in the county, we're short about 2,500, maybe 1,000 dwelling units. So we have to make some efforts to fill that gap. As you know, part of it has to do with some more outlying properties. But there's some different parts of this as well. Okay, the purple. This pointer might be not getting one.
It's the other button.
All right, there we go. Hill Street extension from Kelsey to
King Street.
That is an idea to establish a new connection, new east-west link between the west side of downtown and the other side of the river floor with air roundabouts to handle the traffic that it would flow back to the north, toward the triangle of Bud on Blueberry, west to Fridays and so forth. It just gives people another way to easily get from one place to another. And if we can do that, what that may well trigger, and they're doing in front of the school district, is redevelopment or development of the Marshall Field and Memorial Stadium. That's what it turns to. Those two parcels, along with the triangle at Blueberry, which Blueberry is about, I think, a little over 12 acres. The school property, the two fields are a little over 13 acres. Between those two areas, we can assume something around 200-250 dwelling units, which would be about one-fourth of the shortfall that we're facing at this point over the next several years. So with one swoop of what I'll call smart infill development, we can solve 25% of our projected problem. And they work very well in team, bringing more people into the central part of the city, where we need new infill development, we need to take advantage of existing infrastructure. And we give some indirect, if not direct, support to the downtown area, as well as full support to the North Kelsey area. So with that, I'm going to pass this wonder pointer to Jeff up a bit more about these mud books.
Can you flip to the next slide, Frank? So this is the North Kelsey area that we've talked about ad nauseum, it seems like, in Monroe for the last 10 years. Go back in time, there was big ideas about North Kelsey. We put a lot of effort into creating the North Kelsey plan. The idea was to have a walking pedestrian scale community shopping area that coexisted with the community center, an open space park, if you will, a community gathering area. Reality is set in 10 years later. We didn't achieve the goal. We have, if you go to the next slide, I think it's instructive to look at. This is the ground that we're at right now. We have Galaxy Theater, which is a large building with a large parking lot. Fred Meyer, large building, large parking lot. Lowe's, large building, large parking lot. We're starting to get the theme here. Walmart, large building, large parking lot. Next door, large building, large parking lot. What has become apparent is that the market is telling us that no pre-town center isn't going to work anymore, not under the current model. We have continued to use the North Kelsey plan, and it is embedded in our comprehensive plan. And it's our recommendation that council considers revisiting the North Kelsey plan. Number one, removing the regulatory language from the comprehensive plan. And number two, removing any policy language that would indicate that we're going to build a community open space. Let's use the term village green because I think everybody's familiar with the concept of maybe a 10,000 square foot hard space where the community can gather around a flagpole for events. The remaining property that we have to market, this triangle here is already a parking lot that's owned by, currently managed by Lowe's, but will be sold to an eventual buyer that owns this property along here. Down here we have a stormwater facility that is being majorly underutilized. This stormwater facility only takes in water from Shade Lake, and we could redirect that stormwater to another location and perhaps add another part of the path that the city could put on the market. Now, that, from a financial standpoint, it makes a lot of sense for the city. We currently carry $11.3 million worth of bonds on this property. Best case, the city could if all this property is sold, looking at about $18 million worth of real estate. Worst case, $15 million. So what that tells me is if we're successful over the next couple of years in marketing this property, selling it to other commercial development, the city is looking, sitting in a position to have positive cash flow anywhere from $3 to $6 million that we can redirect into the city and put it to better use. Brad, we have the downtown, go back to the downtown. So, what we've been thinking about, this intersection here at Blueberry and North Kelsey has a major traffic and currency issue with the railroad going by North Kelsey, Blueberry Lane. The traffic there is prohibiting the ability to develop the Peace Park Bit parcel, this one up here. We had a developer in to do some feasibilities on this, either developing the property with the pond there or by filling the pond. And we have the opportunity to provide a substantial amount of infill development for the city. On top of that, this peak property, just based on tax assessments, this property is valued at about $2 million. If the city council was to rezone this property from public use like it is now and put a new zoning designation on it with a higher level of residential development, our current code is R11, I think, is where we go to, but maybe we want to consider looking at something even higher and do a real tight urban infill that we could bring more population into the urban core. It achieves multiple purposes. Number one, I believe if we can convince the school district that that's a good use of school district funds to surplus that property, use that revenue to improve other properties. Earlier tonight we talked about a $2,000 grant to improve all of the fields at the high school. Perhaps the high school or the school district can use that funds to improve fields elsewhere in the city. Perhaps they could use it to upgrade Frank Wagner Theater. Who knows what they could do with that money? But it's a revenue source for the school district that doesn't require them to go to the taxpayers for additional revenue. Yes?
All right, another button. Jeff, have you started discussions or got a sense from the school district whether this property is, whether they're interested? I know they use that field space for, you know, the middle school, I mean, for, you know, gym and outdoor activities. So have you had a discussion with them?
No.
Okay.
I would say
how far
there's familiarity between what we're talking about here in the school district, so where we would like to do this.
Okay.
We are going to have a joint meeting with them in the next 2 weeks.
But no sense right now whether they're open to it or even looking at it.
I think the school district has thought about surplusing this property. The fields are underutilized right now, and truth be told, if you talk to people who use particularly the football field, if it rains just a little bit, it's not a very good surface.
Not good field.
So.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's going to be a Councilor Hill event.
Councilor Trevor.
Oh, no, I'm done. Go ahead.
Councilor Green.
Brad, just a quick question. We talked about Blueberry Kelsey Interchange a couple of years ago. And maybe 3 years ago, I remember we had a full discussion on, you know, what it would take to really do that. And state grouping, you know, right up against it, you really can't do anything to the east side of the road. If this Hill Street extension was to go through it, when you talk about what a person would have to do with a U-turn, if we put that secret so you couldn't turn into Denny's parking lot, or if they came out there, what they would have to do to actually go all the way back around. I thought they'd have to, we had kind of this huge loop they would have to do. Does this, I guess we don't have that intersection highlighted. Is that kind of a separate?
The idea is instead of moving Blueberry Kelsey, you do this instead.
Instead of some intersection with State.
Exactly. The only thing that happens is you've got a right in and right out. And if you wanted to, this blue traffic would come down here to go across the like, road or something like that.
So if you were coming, if you're in Denny's parking lot, you're coming out and you want to go north on North Kelsey Street, what do you have to do?
Well, same thing right now.
So
if
that
will change.
One more
T-curve, one more there.
And I thought we had talked,
familiar with the leasing property about expanding the lease, and we're kind of terminating, if you're going south on Kelsey and you want to turn right, turn west on school, in addition, or widening of the turn, changing the turn lane a little bit there. So we would,
bypass traffic down on University Extension rather than using that intersection.
I'm very agree with the Hill Street cut through, and as an idea that, actually got a little bit of mention 3 years ago, I remember, I think that would actually be a good idea. As a user of the old football stadium, it is not kept up whatsoever. There is mowed grass all over the track, the quote-unquote track. And it's certainly soggy, and it's certainly a lot close to the cross there, and do some other things as well. But there are certain other places in town to do that, so I'm very, very intrigued. It looks like a number of other property purchases we might have to make. Certainly very interested in seeing that possibly come to fruition.
It's certainly no small feat by any means. It is aggressive. But as Jeff and Paul spoke to, it allows for an east-west connector that will potentially run from Lewis all the way to Vylands with just a couple jugs in the road. But it is as direct a path from east-west in Monroe that we will have. The problems with Blueberry Lane are such, the issues about Blueberry Lane are so problematic that it really makes sense. This will serve two purposes. Eliminate the deficiencies that we have at Blueberry and provide for an east-west connector on the south side of Highway 2 from Lewis to Firelands.
And on the north side, the Kearney Place extension achieves the same purpose. We've talked about this at great length over the years, but this is an improvement the city staff believes that needs focus, and we need to work on opening up that north highway to east-west corridor. I just wanted to wrap up by saying that, the North Kelsey plan, it was full of a lot of really good ideas. And what we're trying to achieve here is not so much, we're trying to take a lot of the dreams out of the North Kelsey plan and turn it into a Monroe plan. The concept being we can still have a building to rebuild Monroe, but not perhaps, the intention is to find some place in the downtown core to purchase, with proceeds from North Kelsey, a large area that we can create that community gathering spot in the middle of the urban core that will draw people to our downtown area, that will draw people to our shops, and also located near the urban development that, where substantial population exists, and hopefully additional population in these two areas. It builds on the downtown plan. We're taking a lot of the aspirational and good community feeling aspects of the North Kelsey area and moving them into the downtown area, fulfilling the downtown plan. And I think we're the political decision, the policy decision that you guys as policymakers have to make is the reality of the situation is North Kelsey is an auto-dependent commercial sector of the city. People drive their cars there, they get out of their cars, they go into Lowe's, or they go into Fred Meyer, or they go to Home Depot. And what's there today isn't going to change. And what we can do is maximize the potential of the North Kelsey area, at the same time enhance, improve, and maximize the potential of our downtown. And we have the resources to make a substantial dent in this process as we move forward. But again, the North Kelsey area, with some modifications that we're working on through sign code changes, it will allow us to brand this area along Highway 2 and the north of the next slide again. Similar to this, right now the city code prohibits off-site signage. But imagine this monument that Brad going to draw people and allow people to work their way into the shopping area without cluttering up Highway 2 anymore than it already is. At the same time, with the investments we're making downtown, we're improving the downtown area to create more of, as Paul said, a downtown feel. So with that, Brad, I think that's a wrap of comments, and
hey, Brad, can you go back to the large picture? And just that one there. And speak to the to that last point that Jeff just made, and that is North Kelsey. Today, typically when you consider or think of North Kelsey, you talk about the two portions of property. Yes. Why don't you explain what you did?
Well, it was just to expand the area to increase the economic vitality and the ability of the businesses that were in there, especially in the strip mall areas, the smaller businesses, is to basically expand North Kelsey to be that green box, and then have those entry signs at Kelsey and at G-Neck Road, so people can advertise as being in North Kelsey, so that can pull them off the highway into North Kelsey, and then they can see the signs of the individual business, as opposed to, you know, they're going to keep driving up and down Highway 2 and never find that place, right? You know, we're in North Kelsey, they get into North Kelsey, and they can find the smaller signs around the businesses. So the idea is to expand that into the design of a cohesive unit that doesn't have any other identity, and use that as the marketing tool for those businesses.
So when we speak of Fred Meyer, we speak of Fred Meyer in the North Kelsey district of town. When we speak of Lowe's, Lowe's is in North Kelsey. When we speak of the theater is in North Kelsey. So it's really creating another sub-area
destination
known as North Kelsey.
Okay, thank you. This is the last comments about the North Kelsey plan. Well, the North Kelsey plan's vision has not been, nor is it possible to realize, because as you know, it's basically driven to an outward-dependent commercial area. It wasn't that it can be realized by obtaining design guidance for the North Kelsey development and aggressively moving on to the downtown plan. Our proposal is not to get rid of the design guidelines. It's just moving out of the comprehensive plan into the Illinois Municipal Code for implementation regulations belong. Still, it might be that we've been modulated frontages and the green spaces around the buildings and those sort of things. The goal of the North Kelsey plan would increase the city's economic vitality. Think that, for sure, believe that. Moving businesses into the North Kelsey area, we're increasing the vitality of the downtown area. Providing uses and services that meet the needs of New York's diverse population. Walmart, you know, serves a different clientele in part from smaller stores. So we have the small stores downtown, the big store, the center. Create a focal point as a community gathering spot. We've been doing that in North Kelsey, we do that in downtown area, as was outlined in the downtown plan. Encourage investment-friendly development. Do that in the downtown area, but also still have those ideas and many things for people who do not a lot in Europe to Fred Meyer. So there'll still be the paths and the green spaces up in the North Kelsey area for those who have a lot. And then it also doesn't compete with downtown, because in the one of the proposals we saw from the developer, they called that street, they called Main Street. So basically they were trying to call it the second Main Street. This way you'll have the downtown, it's a downtown pedestrian really oriented with the outer dependent commercial area, so we're not competing between the two areas. And then the strong identity for the development, which we just talked about, is landing that area as a destination for people to go shopping with the modifications to the site code. So that's all I have. That's all we have. Discussion.
Well, thank you. Any questions with regards to the overview? This evening, and then of course we will move on to the current docket for 2012 and put some proposed docketing ideas for 2012 in addition to what we have today, most of which are working in tandem with what we have. So, yes.
Direction on the council and consultation with the planning commission on, you know, how to go about doing that. So,
that's very good.
That's good. So, the transportation plan that we have has some of these projects, specifically east-west corridors. I'm very excited about those because those were where I have high on my list, getting people moving east-west specifically, extension of Cherry Place, get from, you know, quite far up below and that area using that way too. I think that's fantastic.
We need to do that.
So a transportation plan discussion could be had.
Correct.
At a future date.
Yes.
That being.
Councilman Keller.
Thank you. Just one question about the Hill Street extension. Brad, do you think there's any opportunity for grants or any funding that could help?
There occasionally is some economic development money, especially it's tied to urban core redevelopment and things like that. So it's possible to get some, there is sometimes money out there for that.
Okay.
So.
And to follow up on that, we're talking about perhaps as many as 250 houses, homes built, each one of which comes with traffic mitigation fees. Walmart is anticipated already saw an increase of $500,000 in sales tax revenue from the Walmart opening in Harlem. This is not a current budget. We're anticipating additional revenues from the changes that we're making citywide. So, and not to forget that we are going to make it or increase revenue from the sale of the property in North Kelsey. So if those funds are allocated properly, we can probably do a lot of this with funds in-house in the city. That's not to say we shouldn't apply for grants, but revenue will be generated.
Most grants are matching as well, so if we are to apply for grants, there's potential that we'll have those matching funds for them, so.
One more question. I love thinking outside the box, and I love staff coming up with creative ideas. My one concern, though, is the Kelsey plan had a lot of public process, a lot of input. And to move to this, do you have any plan to involve the public or have some kind of a public process in moving in this direction?
We've had two public hearings before the planning commission, four workshops before the planning commission, and two meetings with the city council prior to the adoption of the ordinance process. So, you know, there's or since eight opportunities for people to come in and discuss.
So, you might have already answered the question, but were you talking single-family residence homes where the old fields are and Pete's Party Pit?
We're talking about the possibility of multi-family. What surrounds most of the property now is MR 6,000, practically 4,000 square feet of land area per unit. And you could build multi-family, multi-story buildings. Or possibility for a equivalent, a compatible single family detached density of 6,000 square foot lots, which is to the west of the fields and moving to the south. So it could be even more. Obviously, there's a lower number of units that could potentially be developed in some area, but. The range, the 200-250 is really a mix of multi-family and single-family versus all multi-family. So there's maybe 20-30% difference in the final.
Okay. personally had, I like the thinking outside the box. The one question I have is, what would you do at the end of Hill Street there, where Thrive is and NAP Auto Care? What are the plans there? Because I know that right now, as it stands, I've driven that intersection many times, and it can be very challenging at times. So if we're talking about punching a road through and making that more of a thoroughfare, I'm just wondering what your thoughts are for that.
Signal to be installed at this intersection because if they want to do the downtown plan, want to increase traffic along Fremont Street. So after we look at this, I would assume it would be probably the same thing is to have another signal installed there, which when people get out here, we would have to, you know, wait for 20 minutes to make a left turn onto Lewis Street, because that's sort of, I think the purpose of installing that is to probably be another signal at that intersection.
During your discussions, a large part of proposing this here was definitely creating the east-west connector that would go from past Lewis to Farlands. But the reality was, or the largest piece of this was really to divert the traffic that is now going to Blueberry and Kelsey. Diverting that to here, so much of the traffic we are anticipating will be making a left-hand turn onto Kelsey to go north to the North Kelsey district zone area.
And additionally, there's a lot of traffic, especially during the rush hour, that comes down this way to make a left turn there that has been trying to bypass 522. But now with the new flow off of that, they're going to have to wait for the signal there, so that may divert some of the traffic from there too.
I guess I would just say that's something that we're going to really have to look at.
Well, I'd like to comment about these connections we're talking about. What I hope is that if we, for example, extend Hill Street and we trigger development of these school fields, and build some housing, build some good innovative info housing that's going to bring more people to the core, and we're going to have more attractive market where it's pretty easy, especially in the summertime around here, to walk a couple of blocks downtown. You can walk a few more blocks to the north side. If you get people in place so that they can easily connect on foot, or certainly more easily by car, if different parts of town are getting. The action, that synergy of being able to drive or walk, and what we can do to promote a pleasant place to walk, and maybe ideally put some traffic to walk.
Councilmember Kim?
Oh, I'm sorry, Councilmember.
Councilmember Lee?
Close to the same.
Thank you.
So we're talking about changes that have to be made to the comp plan, the North Kelsey plan, the downtown plan, and the transportation plan. Can you just kind of describe how that process is going to work? Are those going to all happen concurrently? Are you, I'm assuming, have suggestions on what you want to see changed on those, and just what's the timeline, and how do you see that happening?
What we want to do is bring a resolution to next week that would amend the docket for the 2012 comprehensive plan amendments. Had to amend the comprehensive plan to remove the regulatory portion of the North Kelsey and downtown, and also the references to the policy statement for the public improvements, publicly owned improvements out of North Kelsey. And the timeline we have done for that is to have those adopted in the timeframe, which is final adoption on July 3rd of this year. So it's actually a very aggressive schedule with what we already have on the board.
proposed to approve all county plan amendments together at one time, so it'd be directly this along with First Air, East Monroe.
West Monroe.
How many do you do this?
Yeah, West Monroe, that's going to be a problem, but sorry, so James, that's not going to be a problem.
So, people all come together, and they put in the form.
Councilmember King?
Thank you. Just briefly, the Fremont area, I'm, I guess I'm a little bit lost, I don't know what exactly you've got planned for that. That was just a sewer limitation, but...
Well, Andy, what's, where's that key message?
Oh.
You have to follow the mayor, where he lives at. How do we put it back? We put it back the way that are, where we implement the downtown plan, which has lighter sidewalks, street trees, you know, street furniture, that kind of thing, to kind of open up that area here for the key development, you know.
Is that the school area?
It's the sewer, and this is, we're on the park area, which is supposed to eventually turn into, you know, condos and that, and stuff, also increase the density, you drive, you know, on the capital documents for businesses in that town.
So that's why the, I think Paul mentioned putting the light at that location, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the plan, I'm calling for that, you know, but the secondary, clearly, what we downtown is being Fremont.
Okay, thank you.
Councilmember King?
Thank you, Brian, and Councilmember Hanford, and Craig Commoner, and Councilmember King's comments, that'll be right. Could we ever consider, there's probably not enough space, but rather than traffic lights, and we can talk about the time, but is there enough space to actually do roundabouts instead of those two locations, Mark? And there's both three buildings in there, so I mean, we have bigger buildings, we have to even check that.
I was wondering this, with downtown plan also, and any considerable possibility of a roundabout or something? And since there's no building where the park lot or the home used to be, for that, so that probably would be used to start a roundabout. So now we have a fifth one there, pretty good with downtown businesses.
And then the Lewis Hill Street, which is Fremont, everything's...
Yeah.
It's not just pretty tight.
But I was thinking, right away, lines of mass buildings, the homeless buildings in order to do that.
So Brad, why don't you transition us into then the 2012 work program, or Paul?
I'm going to point to Paul, okay?
My transition. And commissioners, any comments or questions?
Thank you, Mayor. I have some, but they've been answered. Commissioners, any questions or comments before pressing this?
I have a question. With the group management, situation in the economics now, and the requirements for our housing, I was wondering if they know that we have a lot of empty spaces, a lot of empty houses, and why do we need more? That was what I was... What they're telling us we need, and we need, but I'm not sure we need it.
I guess I want the exam, but I don't know. Initially, the housing was for 2025. The company that's planning to start in the beginning of this year, 2015, is actually putting out 24. So if they're doing that, very soon, the company housing units and jobs go to the different cities, all the way up for 2004. So my hope is to be kind of covered by that.
Yes.
Thank you, Chairman Lewis, for your time, council members. I'm going to start with that, Brad. I'm here in the work I do time and time again, and was mentioned earlier when it was mentioned about revenues, the costs related to mitigation. And there's a lot of concern out in the development community, and builders in particular, and homeowners, or home buyers who want to own a home, with the cost of mitigation in the room. There's a number of smaller cities comparable to Monroe that have very high mitigation costs. And I think we need to be very careful about looking at the possibility of raising mitigation fees. And I know there's talk about possibly rolling back some mitigation fees. So I think we need to be careful about banking too much on that as a source of funds. I'm curious as to whether, and I know this will be a really dull pencil sort of number, I like the idea of industry because
cost calculated up based on this $2 million. They gave him a really good proposal.
Thanks for me.
$7 million, probably. So we're talking about potential net proceeds, I don't know, Kelsey of $6 or $7 million. And we're talking about this one particular project, not saying possible grants, taking all of that money.
With possibility of recovery, it depends on how you do the, or less, you said, a year. With the properties, do we just buy the properties? Develop it and sell them, or do we, you know, try and negotiate a deal for cheating off of, you know, sell any of their properties? So maybe if you get that way, that'd be the higher end, which would be able to sell the properties back and after we run with the road improvements. Also, part of it would be, since it would actually increase the, you know, developability of that property, that would be the access where would be some property behind the guy who developed or this property for us building, pre-building the road for that.
Okay.
I guess it's almost got a lot.
It does, and I'm curious, it's a really ambitious idea that the mayor and staff put forward here. We're signing really good ideas, but I think we also want to make sure that in the process of looking at it and jumping to amend what we already have on our books in the comprehensive planning, that we're amending to things that are realistic with what we're okay. You talked about taking the public area from the North Kelsey part of town down to the downtown area. One of the biggest issues that I've heard for years in the downtown area is parking. A common area for gatherings and events is just going to make parking worse potentially, and I think that to not address the parking at the same time would be a huge issue. And keep in mind too, our downtown is not all that big. If we look at increasing parking by taking some property perhaps, we look at creating a common area by taking some property perhaps, or we look in turn gutting our downtown core. And all the efforts that people put forward in trying to make that a more viable community impact, they might be for not too. And again, that goes to the size of that area. I agree with the commissioner's concern, Commissioner Robbins, about the land use capacity. We've talked about that a lot in recent time planning commission meetings, and I think it's going to come up a little later this evening with the Roosevelt Road. I don't see the projections we currently have as far as shortfalls are realistic. I think they're bound to change. Those were developed in 2005, 2006, published in 2007, and I think we're all well aware that things have changed a lot in our communities, not just here in Monroe, but throughout the country. And I can't help but think that will have some sort of impact on whether we actually still have a shortfall going forward or not. And I think the rush forward and make decisions based on incomplete information, especially when that's supposed to be coming forward and complete in the next couple of years. It's important to be cautious there. Turning place, that's not a new idea. The extension turning place over the old road. I've been a planning commissioner for a long time. We've talked about the east-west connector and the importance of that for many, many years, upwards of 2 decades perhaps. And it's a critical element, no question about it. I know there's issues there, it's got to get done. We've got to have a connector. I'm glad to see we're focused mainly on that. I've been reading Duval has what they call a citywide vision plan. We've had a lot of discussions over the years and we've adopted plans to talk about vision, but we've done very little vision in this town of the community as a whole. We've done North Justin, we've done downtown, we've done the West Main Street Corridor, we're doing West Monroe. I hope that in our 2015 we incorporate some sort of citywide vision. What do you want to see the city look like in 20 years? Where do those of you that have kids, where do you want to see them growing up? Where do you want to see the grandkids growing up? What sort of legacy do we want to leave? And I recognize it's got to be a somewhat dynamic sort of document. But I do think it's important to look at the entire thing. The last thing I'm going to say at this point, and I've probably said it over enough, is we're fortunate at this point to have some great staff. We really are. That staff, especially in the planning department, was already maxed out. I hope that in your discussion somehow you look at the additional staffing requirements that would be necessary for a job like this to be adequately and successful.
Paul, why don't you then lead us into, transition us into the 2012 docket?
I thought we'd been done with this,
and the council has heard of Gary. Yes. Yeah, you broke it, that's okay.
Exactly.
That red line's only been up there for, 10 years. Councilman Ben Campbell said it's the rookie move in the chair.
Yeah, it is. I haven't been here long.
I mean, never would have done that.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I was going to say.
Well, the position, we've been pretty busy the last couple of months. We do have a very ambitious work program. We've been contemplating the docket, primarily first airfield. And recently, the Golden Bell Road rezoning, which we wanted to discuss tonight. And we have had some introductory work on the Eastern Road project, and that's due to come back to the commission in the next few weeks. And like I said earlier, all of these need to come together at the same time. So our reference is really focused on the documents that we now have. John and I have about the potential of adding the North Kelsey at all to the docket through the comprehensive plan. And when I approached that, comprehensive plan now has quite a bit of regulations, regulatory code language in it, in terms of North Kelsey and perhaps the downtown area. But the comp plan is for policy and directions, not about the rules. So it's something to be a good effort to make that distinction and clean up companies' plan that way. But beyond the companies' plan and docket, we're dealing with Roosevelt Road rezoning. We have a commission that is discussing some options and how to move forward with that. We just started, and we'll start next week, discussing the Roosevelt Ridge annexation, the property east of the zoning property. And that is on a pretty specific schedule in order to make an election this fall. So all of you are going to take quite a bit of effort on the part of the commission to get these through the review and the process and get some recommendations on your dice. And the other couple of things that are out there, the big one is the 2015 comprehensive plan update. And our intention is to start just gathering material and starting to spin the wheel on that, what, 2-year effort beginning mid-year. And the other is an ongoing, what we call it, economic development review of the zoning code. We're working on a couple of very minor amendments right now that are coming in fairly soon. We're working on sign code. In doing a short-term update of the sign code as a separate piece of this economic development review strategy to do some cleanup and clarify and bring in some other potential things that we do not have right now, like off-site signing and some other things. So those are some will be ongoing. They will be bringing to you a piece at a time, especially this color thing. But frankly, the problem we're having is that we have so much going on that we're doing pieces of things that will move along to keep everything moving forward. It's been taking a bit of time to accomplish that. So the commission's been really good to work with in vetting these things through the process here and really asking the questions that need to be asked about these. So we are busy. What else can I say?
If I may, Paul, I want to just speak to one of the pieces that Commissioner Demarest spoke to, and that is the resources that we have within the talent that we have within. Council may most likely, might probably be fielding a request from staff to seek out some outside support and assistance in some of these matters. There's potential for that. So we believe that we can accomplish that within the budget.
concern, we have given that thought, and Director Bauer will be making a decision or recommendation here, or could be making a recommendation here at some point in the near future. Just something to keep in your mind, but we have, and I appreciate you bringing that up, because we've discussed that in big detail, so. Whose mind is kind of spinning there? Anybody blown? I addressed the Rotary Club, and I said some people's minds may just blow over this. As was said, there's a very aggressive strategy here. I personally, speaking with staff, our economic development director or manager, Jeff Sachs, Paul Papa, and Brad, I believe that we truly are at a crossroads in relation to certain segments of our community. And as I said at the meeting the other day, we really are at a point where council is going to need to make some kind of decisions. Part of that may be to just continue in the direction that we are. But I think that might be, as our economic development manager has pointed out, that could be detrimental to our city in terms of some opportunities that may not lie ahead. So with that said, Paul, you want to talk about the work program, and specifically the additions that we are proposing to add as a city-initiated DACA piece?
What we're proposing tonight is what we have in mind is, as Brad, I think it's very important to come back to the council for a resolution to amend the DACA. We can't do that in mid-year in a city-initiated action to amend the comp plan to give us the ability to move ahead potentially with things like more housing. It's not a complicated process when we were to do that, although as council member Kerbeck, there's been quite a bit of public input into that North Kelsey plan, and we want to have the opportunity with the Neighborhood Commission to perhaps allow that process or that input to happen with these changes. I think we can make a pretty reasonable case for what we're trying to accomplish here in letting North Kelsey develop as it seems to want to develop, and hold downtown development as it should develop. But it's a fairly straightforward exercise in deletion of portions of what's in the comp plan at this point, given that regulatory language. It's the potentially controversial or complex part is the fact that what we are undoing a North Kelsey development plan. Retain the development guidelines so that we don't throw out the architectural guidelines with throw out the baby with the bathwater. But the concept of really changing direction on that North Kelsey plan, and this is the purpose of the conference to establish that direction and refocus on what we're talking about tonight. But it's really a matter of changing language and deleting language. This is all being mapped. It's really all about the textures to simplify the company. Does that kind of give you an idea of what this exercise is about in terms of meaning to amend the conference so we can then go forward with those changes and eventually amend the zoning code to reflect those changes as well? We'll take from Kelsey's guidelines. We put them in the zone, take the downtown guidelines, which are not worked, bring them into the zone, and so you don't have to go to four or five or six different places to find out what the regulations are. But before we do some of that, we need to do it on the highest level of the comp plan.
vision for the city, and streamline our regulatory processes into single units rather than what we find today, a piece of the requirements may be here and a piece might be there and a piece might be there. So the staff is actually using more time in trying to cross-reference much of the regulations exist out there. And so ultimately we're looking to streamline those regulations, but have a more of a holistic view overriding that correct assessment or fair assessment.
Absolutely. Really, the intent is to render the con plan to be what it is and to set that overall record. And I really like the idea of this new developing a community vision in the 2015 process, which will set the tone for that entire con plan document. But then having a good, simplified, one-source, tells-all zoning code.
Okay, so if your staff has a hard time trying to cover all of the potential code issues when they're in different places, much less a member of the public, or even the informed developers, something like that, have the same problem of trying to find out exactly, so what can I do exactly here? And in some cases, there are some conflicts. So it's the ultimate goal here is to render it all in a consistent way that is much easier to work with, and just facilitates development, facilitates preservation. I mean, it just takes us down that path that we've established in the vision. And it's not that difficult to do. It takes effort, but it's not that difficult.
Council, any questions for Paul or Jeff or dialogue with the planning commissioners? Councilman Jerry?
Thanks. I am along with Commissioner Demarest in the idea of the Monroe, envision for Monroe. I'm a geographer and I look at maps all the time, and I've probably spent too much time staring at the Monroe map, you know, what it could be and how to tie in all those different areas, and we have so many distinct areas that are, you know, really spread out, and how do we have a sense of place? How do we have a true community? How do you know that you're in Monroe? You know, and how do we make it distinct in that way? An idea that I threw out, which I found is a little bit more expensive, is considering expanding the old Monroe numbering system to other places in town, maybe with the exception of Highway 2, but considering things like that, so you know where you are in town with relation to downtown, where downtown is really the center and the focus of our town, rather than how far we are from Everett. You know, do we want this town to be based on how far are we really from Everett? Where are you in relation to Monroe? You know, here's the center of Monroe. But those kind of things I think about. So I look forward to being part of the process, whether I'm sitting here or not, but definitely taking the time to put a community vision together for that. I look forward to that. So I appreciate that that direction. I look forward to being involved with that.
That's any other questions? Comments?
Thank you. I will say that considering what it looks like we're going to be doing and looking at this work program, it looks very challenging. One of the things that was brought up, and I guess I'll bring it up again, I don't think we have a map, and I'm not really just trying to switch gears on us here, but it has to do with the work schedule. And a particular item that we've been spending some time on, and the consensus in the last meeting was we'd like to just delay it. It's not a comprehensive plan amendment, it's a rezone. And it has to do with the Roosevelt Road. The comprehensive plan has been changed. We need to, you know, have a rezone match up with that. From what we understood, there's no definite timeline on when that has to be done. And when that was adopted, the Planning Commission had a public hearing. If I remember correctly, every homeowner was here and was opposed to it. And the Planning Commission unanimously recommended not to change it. And I can't recall why the council did that. They
they chose to go ahead and make the change, and I think it probably has to do with the shortfall we have in homes here, and with all those properties that are already developed, most property owners should have once developed it, and so that was one of the things we thought was, can we just table that until more studies are done with traffic or the 2040 numbers come out? That would save up some time if we could just table that. But we want to get your things on that. Commissioner, today you have?
Yeah, I have my thoughts to let Commissioner Chairman, sorry. That's a city-initiated rezone. It was a city-initiated comprehensive plan amendment. But this is the meeting we've been having. We've not had a single property owner support of it. The impetus behind it when it was moved forward was the capacity issue, which in my mind still an unresolved question at this point, whether it still exists or not. And there were significant concerns expressed by city staff with that project with regard to capacity at Fireman's Boulevard and Highway 2. I don't for one see the logic and continue to work through that and do something when we've got all this other stuff that needs our attention. And I would suggest that from my perspective, that we recommend that the city council go back and reverse the comprehensive plan and take it back to what it was and be done with that until such time that there's going to be greater pressure, greater need, greater desire on property owners to see a change as a desire for investigation.
Yes, I'm just sitting here writing notes, and these guys are going to read me my notes on both sides. So I have nothing to say now.
Well, I did just read one of his notes. The one thing that you have to mention, and the concern by a lot of the property owners of that area, was that they had no desire to move out or to have their property developed at a higher rate because they were already developed. The majority of them, and they were concerned about higher taxes without really any benefits to them on a day-to-day basis, so.
I had that on here, too.
Councilmember Williams, have any response?
Yeah, I just have a question, and it, you know, that to me sounds like a good idea, and perhaps maybe even next week in a study session, we could quickly review that and what the rationale was behind that. The other thing that I'm looking on there that seems like it's not a real pressing issue is the cell tower landscaping. And again, I don't know how much time that is going to take from the Planning Commission, but if we're looking at replacing things on their schedule of work, that's another one that to me has very low payback. And so it would be something I'd want to consider as well.
Thank
you. Along those lines, one of the reasons Roosevelt Road, as well as the annexation of the Roosevelt Ridge area, has kind of moved to the top of the list in the past, is at the time we wanted to make sure that, you know, any kind of infill, any kind of development in that area was to the city standards and not county standards, where somebody could come in and put a whole bunch of stuff in and not have it be the way that we wanted it, even though it's in our urban growth boundary. And I know Roosevelt Ridge, in particular for me, that wanted to make sure that we got that, you know, that it became part of the city so that we can, you know, more or less have more control, you know, over how things developed moving forward. And of course, it had to do as well with the Bilbola lands report, you know, and this lack of density and being able to see things like that. The Roosevelt Road, I don't know that I have a problem tabling it. I don't know that we want to reverse it. If we're going to reverse it, it certainly begs the question, you know, why did we annex that particular piece of land in the first place? And should we consider, I mean, it still has a Snohomish address, for crying out loud, even though it's in the city of Monroe. Should we consider just de-annexing it in general? I think the reason we brought it in the first place was to control that, to have control over development of the area. The residents don't want that. Begs the question, why did we do it in the first place? And does it make sense to actually be in the city, especially when the post office won't change it to Monroe law, and it still says Snohomish law? So anyway, some of my thoughts with regard to that, I'd like to have that be part of the conversation as well. It may make sense to allow for de-annexation of that area if the original intent for why we brought it in the first place is no longer holds.
If I may, I remember parts of the discussions. I think part of the discussion with regards to the north area, quite frankly, is we really didn't have a plan for
you're saying, based on the plan or the vision that we envisioned that was shared tonight, that could very well be a reality in terms of refocusing the attention away to bring that to our urban core, which would promote, as we've talked about, much more pedestrian movement, transition throughout the town, so on and so forth. So, Commissioner Demers?
I just want to make sure that I was clear. I'm not suggesting in any way that property on Roosevelt Road be de-annexed. I think I'm correct. It's currently zoned UR9600. That's what it was designated previously. My suggestion was only that, one, if we didn't do the rezoning, in fact, we considered rollback on the comp plan and just take it back to the UR9600. I still think it's important for the city to have capacity. I think UR9600 is a very appropriate zone for a lot of the areas within the city, personal perspective. And I think it's important that developers, when they want to come in the room, do some passive choices that they can look at for development property. Again, not suggesting in any way be de-annexed and taken out of the city.
That was my begs the question, but I didn't hear you saying that, no.
Yeah, I agree with just reversing that. My initial opinion too, spread back to the original designation. We've been annexed within the city. My only thought was, when the first one was discussed about Caitlin, I said, why Caitlin? Let's reverse it. But now with this schedule, if reversing is going to give us just as much workload, to be honest with you, I'd rather just table it and put it back to its original designation next year.
Also, just a couple of clarifying comments regarding the zoning. City law does require that when you change the comp plan, you change the zone. So if there is consistency, but if it's not, as someone said, you have to say when you have to do that. So we have time. At the last meeting, the commission seemed to focus on an option of delaying the rezoning until such time as the transportation plan was updated. Right now, there are a lot of potential impacts to the Highway 2 intersection. Right now, the intersection is not any list, not any schedule for improvements, so therefore it won't be done. We will update the transportation plan, may well include that intersection, recognizing the impacts from the annexation and the rezoning, which could mitigate some of the issues that we're concerned about with the Roosevelt Road rezoning. So, in a sense, one of the simplest things to do might be to just simply have the commission recommend the council that it be delayed. And we wait until we get these updates. I mean, we'll have a new capacity short report late this year, and we can revisit it next year, or as things become updated. So, that's
just to clarify a couple of things.
Any further thoughts on the 2012 work program or many teachers in those thoughts with regard to 2012 program?
One thing that we're doing on the planning commission is that we don't do anything real fast. We ask a lot of questions and challenge a lot of why are we doing this? And I think we take pride in that. We like to make sure we're doing a good job. So, still looking at this workload. I don't know what the council wants to do with it, but we can do what we're asked to, the best we can. And come back. But we probably won't be just pushing things through, knowing commissioners who like to dig in deep. So, maybe take that into consideration when you look at the schedule. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. Commissioner, can you
Well, certainly I know council, if I may speak on their behalf, as well as the previous council member, it is much appreciated the advisory role that you serve for council on the recommendations that you bring. So really, I guess for council at this time, you know, would there be any thoughts that you might have to help clarify maybe some of the intentions or needs or desires that you would have so that the planning commission could be working towards towards those goals and to provide specific recommendations based on that rather than come back in 6 months or so and realize or potential may exist that planning commission, which we've done before, planning commission has spent some time reviewing and looking at some zoning issues, only to find out that the council members were not sure why they were looking at those issues. And that's really why we wanted to start having more conversations with the planning commission so that we were sure that everybody was on the same page with regards to the direction that we are heading as a community. So
Jimmy, was anything in closing?
No, I don't think so. It's got a lot to digest, but sounds good.
So, Brad, with regards to next week, staff will be bringing back some recommendations based on what we've heard this evening, specific to the 2012 work program, as well as in addition to the comments from staff from the planning commission to possibly remove some things that potentially exist, they highly doubt that we will be adding some things to the docket as well and replace those items. But that work, I think, cohesively towards that ultimate goal that we spoke of earlier. Dissecting, I guess, is a good word, some of the regulations out of the comp plan. This would be the first step in doing that. So staff will have that for you next week. I hope to have approval from, or resolution from, what do we need from?
Resolution.
Do we need a resolution to remove something from the document?
Actually, I don't think it should be removed without it. I think it's still the planning commission to make a recommendation next Monday with assuming from tonight's comments they would say we recommend that you delay any decision on that until after the 2015 comprehensive plan update with the take care of transportation and the revised comp plan review and then look at the data. And that would be off the table.
Councilmember King?
Thank you. I just regarding that resolution, is the 14th a time limit?
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you. So much to do. Someone else can get out of town, does it? Yeah. Oh, that's right, the 14th.
Oh. 14. You're welcome for the reminder.
Maybe we can have some candles and maybe some tablecloths on all the tables. Let me get some
chocolates.
Invite flowers.
Yeah, right. I'm the only female up here. I expect flowers. Maybe some chocolate.
If you'll give me a written explanation, I can give my wife my morning dinner.
I can do it.
Okay.
Commissioners, I want to just extend again my appreciation for joining us this evening, for your input, and for your candor. Always welcome. We'll have some more information for you next week as it relates to the 2012 and a very impressive year. I'm completely and totally confident in the planning commission's ability to be able to provide the advice or provide advice and recommendations to council in regards to the items on the work program. And, it's going to be packed full of fun, I think, and we look forward to hearing back from you. So as any closing words, we'll say thank you and good night. You're welcome to stay if you like for the rest of the evening. We'll take a couple minutes and allow for All right, well, let's call the meeting back to order. Thank you for coming in today. Councilor Gamble?
I want to request for an executive session to discuss a potential complaint against a city official.
Okay. City Attorney, you can go.
Yes, Mr. Mayor. If it's a council pleasure, an executive session is appropriate under that basis pursuant to RCW 4231.10.1F. The purpose to receive and evaluate complaints or charges against a public officer or employee. The caveat to this section of the OPMA is that if the person or officer being complained of or bringing the charges of law against would prefer that the matter be heard and open to the public, that individual has the right to request that and the discussion must occur in open session.
Okay. All right. You want to do that now and not let the staff get out of here with the slip in these next two ordinances?
We can do that. That's fine. I was trying to remember to let the commissioners know. We can do that.
That's fine. I'm just thinking these next two, I don't think they'll take a very long time, Jacob.
No, that's fine.
No, allow for staff. So why don't we get through items, so new business number 2 and 3, and then we'll go into the executive session. So, okay, with that said, Jordan, you join us on the first one, or Jacob? Questions for Jacob and Jordan this evening? Otherwise, entertain a motion to accept as first and final reading ordinance 002-2012 amending MMC Chapter 13.06, cross connection with Utah County.
Motion
again.
Before we do, I believe we do need to kind of waive the rules of procedure that we had come up with previously.
First and second.
So I'll make a motion. We'll see if it does. Motion to waive the rules regarding first and second final and final readings.
Second.
However, I need to word that.
Yeah.
Motion to waive the standard rules for
having
a first and second reading.
First and second reading.
Sure.
Second that.
All right. Motion to be made by Councilmember Gary and seconded by Councilmember Cutterback. All those in favor? Oh, I'm sorry. No votes. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, so then we still need a motion to accept.
So moved.
Second. Motion's been made by Councilmember Gary and seconded by Councilmember Camp to accept as first and final reading ordinance 003-2012 amending MMC Chapter 13.06 cross connections control. Then official title. Either City Administrator Basil or our City Attorney to read the official title.
Mr. Mayor, ordinance number 002-2012, an ordinance of the City of Monroe, Washington, amending Chapter 13.06 of the cost connection control and minimum plumbing standards for customers connected to the city of Monroe water system, providing for severability and fixing the time the same shall become effective.
Any further questions for Jacob or comments with regards to the motion on the floor? Alright, seeing no lights, take a vote on the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Very good. Okay, 2012 fleet equipment.
Okay, 2012 fleet equipment, not a lot of inventory, so I'll hope for Dave. If you have questions, we'll talk about that during the piece. The resolution you have before you is to declare fluid conservation systems as a sole source supplier for the leak detection equipment and software that are compatible with our current meter reading software. They are the only maker of this, and you know, as far as the two grants go, they're the only two that actually speak to each other. They can't communicate by level of the track that you can stand. So I would ask that you go ahead and pass that resolution. If you have any questions about any information on the cover sheet, feel free.
Alright, so the recommendation is to adopt a resolution declaring fluid conservation system as sole source for census compatible leak detection equipment and adopt a resolution declaring surplus fleet or not.
You
need to speak to that. So do we have a motion to adopt?
So moved.
Alright, the Councilmember Williams makes the motion, seconded by Councilmember Cuddeback. Any questions for Jacob? Alright, seeing no lights, all those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
B, a resolution is required in order to dispose of surplus fleet equipment for creating KLPC Exhibit A. If you look at Exhibit A, I actually made a mistake. A couple of these vehicles are owned by the utilities, which requires a series of public hearings. So I'm going to take away from that list PT-23 and P-18, those both need to be stricken from that list. But with that said, the remaining vehicles can be auctioned off at 17 feet. And we're traded in. Actually, we need to strike RMO1 also. So it's PT-23, P-18, and RMO1 need to be stricken from that list. They're in the same number. I'll bring them back to you later today. RMO1 also.
Alright, so we're looking for a motion to adopt a resolution declaring surplus fleet equipment as listed in Exhibit A with the amendments as mentioned, and authorizing its disposition.
So moved.
Second.
Alright, motion's been made by Councilmember Cuddeback and seconded by Councilmember Hanford. Any other questions or comments for Jacob? Alright, seeing no lights, all those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? And this, okay, as requested by Councilman Gamble, the request is for an executive session as we'll have the city attorney read the purpose of that.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Could you reiterate again how long the executive session is until it lasts?
What's that?
Mayor.
I mean,
Mayor.
We have an executive session scheduled for the end of the night. Is there any way we can just do those right? Unless this one's time sensitive.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'd prefer to go through the rest of the business myself. If there's an unscheduled executive session in the audience, there's no reason to do it right now.
Okay.
The council can combine those at the end of the meeting.
That's fine.
Okay. Alright. Okay. And we are off to...
Yes.
I think we already waived the, do we have to waive the rules every time? We do, okay. I'll move to waive the rules regarding first and second readings, again. Second.
Okay, motion's been made by Councilmember Garian to waive the rules for first and second reading of the ordinance, and seconded by Councilmember Camp. All those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? I couldn't pull up the page. The recommendation is to, I'm having trouble with this. I'm trying to get things on my computer. Recommendation is to, accept or make a motion to accept as first and final reading ordinance 003-2012, amending ordinance 003-2011, and chapter 9.03 of the Monroe Municipal Code relating to offenses against peace, morals, and safety regulations, and setting a time when the same shall be contacted. We must have the city attorney read the official, ordinance title.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Ordinance number 003-2012, ordinance of City of Monroe, Washington, amending ordinance number 033-2011, and chapter 903 of the Monroe Municipal Code, providing for severability and setting the time when the same shall be contacted.
Do we have a made good motion?
So moved.
Second.
All right, made good motion is Councilmember Garian, and seconded by Councilmember Ketterbach. Any questions for the chief? Okay, seeing no lights, we'll go ahead and vote on the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Just for your information, I'm sorry, I meant to mention this earlier, that we will not bringing item number 4 to council this evening. We're bringing that back to a final or another date. Okay, City Administrator Brazel, UST Safety Coalition contribution.
Yes, thank you, Mayor. Back in December of 2011, UST Safety Coalition Chairman Fred Walzer came to the City Council, did a little presentation on how they're doing, what's happening with the UST project and the like, and had mentioned seeking a contribution to that fund in the amount of $3,500. The purpose of that was to hire a lobbyist to assist in moving the US-2 bypass project forward. That was kind of the idea behind it. So, anyway, that is before council this evening, and the legal council has had some time to look at this as well and is ready to field any questions.
I think also it must be, I want to point out that a suggestion was made give the money directly to the lobbyist, and so that we could remain, have some definition, I guess, in terms of this is truly going to, or not truly, we know it's going to, but we can show that. That was just one of the suggestions that they, I'm not sure who had mentioned it at this time, but so something for the rest of the council to consider. Councilmember Green?
Thank you. And along those lines, is there an issue doing it either way? Whether it's public perception or legal, I wouldn't see it legally being an issue either way. I mean, we give donations to organizations like this as well now. So,
and I would need to see the specific proposal, Council. There really wasn't any material contained in the agenda back tonight. They have their cover sheet. One concern that I always have legally whenever the city is purporting to donate money or property or service to another public entity is the state accountancy statute, which technically requires that any time one public agency or department transfers property or services to another public agency or department, it has to receive full and fair value for that. Theory being that if property is collected by one agency for one purpose, it shouldn't be donated to another agency for another purpose. And that is one concern.
thank you. I appreciate that. On its face, you know, I'd love to see this happen, but before I'd feel comfortable going through, I just want to make sure we get those questions answered. So, thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, that was my question as far as if we give the money directly to the lobbyist, what are the parameters? Do we have to have a contract with them? Do we set exactly what they're doing?
I would strongly recommend that any time the city hires any consultant, any service provider, particularly in a field that's heavily regulated as political lobbying, that there is a contract in place clarifying that the individual or firm that you're contracting with is going to follow all applicable laws and identify and hold the city harmless, all the boilerplate that's contained in the city's standard template services agreement. So that to answer your question.
Okay, thank you.
If I'm not mistaken, it appeared as though you were saying that we would need some clarity as well, whether that was an agreement was reached with a lobbyist or whether the money was going to the U.S. 2 coalition.
Two separate issues. If the city is going to give money to a public entity, then the audit accountancy statute does potentially come into play, and we need to look at that. So I guess my recommendation would be for the coalition, whoever it is that is seeking these funds, to come forward with a specific written proposal indicating where precisely the funds will be going, what will occur on the city of Monroe's behalf, what sort of protective measures are in place to ensure that, and I'd be happy to look at it at that time. But again, at this point, there was nothing in the agenda to me.
Councilmember Williams?
Thank you. It sounds like we can't take action tonight, at least from what I'm hearing, but is it appropriate maybe to get consensus on whether council is in favor of money such as this going to the safety coalition?
Certainly.
Before we direct them, both groups start putting work into it?
Sure, and then if the council ultimately decides in the negative, it obviates the need for any expenditure of local resources looking into the issue.
Yeah, so I'll go on record of saying I'm in favor of it, provided we can do it the right way, so.
Yeah. Agreed.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Well, unfortunately, tonight we have Chairman Walser from the US 2 Safety Coalition here this evening, and sorry that it's taken so long to get to this point here, but I'm hoping that you were intrigued by what you've seen today. But what I will ask that is that City Administrator Brazel, yourself, and possibly myself, make a point to connect and have a little further discussion as our city attorney has suggested that we do in terms of the proposed, work or schedule that the U.S. 2 Safety Coalition may be able to provide on behalf of the city of Monroe. And as you've heard this evening, I think the consensus was loud and clear that we'd like definitely to move forward with this, but we want to ensure that we T's crossed and dots I I's dotted.
And it does appear that the proposal involves, at least to some extent, the participation of the cities of Goodbar and Sultan, and it may be appropriate for the three cities to band together and form a brief interlocal agreement relationship, kind of clarifying everyone's rights, where the contributed funds will go, who's in charge of establishing a joint board or administrative entity within the group, etc. But that's fairly standard in similar contexts.
One thing I could add to that, Mayor, is that 14 years ago this did occur in the cities of Goldbar, Index, Sullivan, and Monroe, and Snohomish all joined together, all signed a joint resolution when the U.S. 2 Safety Coalition was formed. And all of the funding has been voluntary. The coalition became a 501c4, and all of the funds that have been solicited have gone towards the purpose of lobbying for improving U.S. 2 from Snohomish to us. So it is not just the city of Monroe. The city of Monroe is a signatory to the resolution and a participating member. And that's currently the same level of funds that are donated, the 100% towards paying for a lobbyist. If the city of Monroe contracts with this lobbyist, then you will have to find your own lobbyist. discussed this with the lobbying firm, and they charge significantly more than they're charging this coalition to do the same, basically, what amounts to the same effort. And we are already into halfway through the legislative session with a commitment, and for a commitment for next year. I've got to give him an answer. I was hoping to go down tomorrow. So, yeah, I was down there all last week, and mostly members that go to Olympia, for instance, I spent 3 days down there last week at my expense, paying my own hotel room, my own meals, and all of that. So none of the money that we collect for the U.S. Food Safety Coalition goes anywhere but to pay for lobbying efforts for U.S. Food.
There is a clarifying question. The proposal then isn't to give money toward some other public entity to be used in furtherance of the larger goal. It's more just agreeing that the city will hire its own lobbyist. The city will contribute money toward a lobbyist that will advance the purposes.
Now, our request is that the city would pay a portion of the cost of the lobbyist. And we've made the same request to the city of Sullivan and City Bill Barr and so forth.
Yeah. I can ask a question. How have those cities handled the contractual relationship? I'm assuming that there's been some contract entered into either with each other or with the group or the lobbyist or et cetera. I'd be surprised if they just donated the funds without any sort of a procedural mechanism attached to it. That might actually help Monroe's deliberations if we understood that.
Well, I'm not aware of the contract. We certainly have no contract other than resolutions that the city would participate in the effort. There's no written contract with any city or anything.
Chairman Walsh, we will have to connect again, and if we can, as early as tomorrow, I think that would be the appropriate, but it appears, I think, based on the attorney's general.
Well, the only caveat is that I was unaware that the city apparently passed a resolution back in September.
Well, it's been
14 years.
78. I'm aware of that. I'm not sure if that has current effect. Is it something the city has already authorized, both the original and future expenditures, and all of that is potentially relevant information, but you may have already authorized this sort of thing.
Looks like Brad's going to go find it. Councilor Williams.
Just a question. Would this be any different than funding of the senior center? You know, if we just agreed to fund the U.S. to Safety Coalition $3,500.
I would assume that whenever we provide funding to the senior center, there's some contract involved indicating the senior center is going to use these public funds for a specific purpose that is public in nature, and that if they fail to do so, they have to refund that to us and indemnify the city for their breach. That's a recommended practice.
I'm stalling here to see if Brad gets back. I think the only question is not that. The only question that I would have with regards to the resolution is can a resolution from 98 essentially bind or...
The real issue is whether it authorizes the council's current action. It's already basically made the policy decision until it's amended at some future point that this type of donation is appropriate, then conceivably that would apply in another manner as well. But I would recommend that any relationship that you have with the lobbyist be framed through a contract that binds the lobbyist to you and establishes the legal nature of your arrangement and protects the city in the event that something goes sideways.
Okay, Councilor Rock, do we wait some more or do we move on from here? Okay, Councilor.
Amazing, Brad. more slower than anticipated. One more machine was setting all the
So this is this resolution, which is resolution 9818, passed in October of 1998, was for the purpose of urging then Governor Locke to identify SR2 between the Norman Student Pass as a highway traffic safety corridor. It doesn't indicate that there's any funding authorization or anything of that sort. I'm happy to look into that, Mayor. Probably low risk if the council wants to authorize the donation. That's its preference tonight, subject to legal and administrative review that gives you, as the mayor, the ability to safeguard the funds until you're confident that they should be released. But the council action would have been occurred tonight, and vesting you with the discretion whether to go forward or not.
So moved.
Second. Okay, you want to repeat what you just
said? I'll paraphrase it. Motion to authorize the mayor to contribute $3,500 in City of Monroe funding toward the Highway 2 Safety Coalition for the purpose of providing for lobbying services in furtherance of the coalition's mission, subject to the mayor's determination that said appropriation is appropriate and formatted correctly.
Now we might have to make a line for that, so
happy to help.
Right. There is a motion made by Councilmember Williams and seconded by Councilmember Gamble. Any further discussion? All those in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right, very good. All right, thank you. All right, we have, as part of final action, ordinance regulating door-to-door solicitations. This is first reading. We have it under final action, but it is first reading, so
if council did
take any action tonight, we'll have to waive that.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This is a proposed ordinance that was before council a few times in 2011 for the benefit of the new council members. It was brought to the city's attention that its previous solicitation ordinance governing door-to-door sales and solicitations was based on a very old, very common historical model that was invalidated by the U.S. Supreme Court on constitutional grounds several decades ago. And when that was brought to our attention, the Monroe City Council repealed its original regulations and has been exploring what, if anything, to replace them with. And the current draft in the council packet tonight reflects my attempt to take what I would consider to be the most effective, simple regulatory means from other jurisdictions and wrap them into a single ordinance. Ensures that these transient merchants, these door-to-door salesmen, etc., are properly regulated within the city and still allows them to conduct their business, but it imposes some what I would consider to be commonsensical restrictions on them, requires them to be registered with the City of Monroe before undertaking any of that activity within the community, and it establishes a commonsensical time frame for them to operate, and the evening deadline for that activity would be 9 o'clock, meaning beyond that time it would be prohibited for transient merchants, etc., to present themselves as uninvited solicitors and merchants on anyone's doorstep. The main issue or cause for concern when this issue was most recently in front of the council last summer was whether and to what extent no trespassing signs that have been privately posted on private property would apply not only to commercial solicitors and commercial merchants, which is the thrust of this ordinance, but also to non-commercial solicitors, people who are going on the property for some other purpose than other than to sell wares or services. And as I explained the last council meeting, and I further confirmed through research, I'm unaware of any controlling case law that would prevent the city from enforcing no trespassing signage against any solicitor. Meaning, stated differently, that a private property owner does have the right to have any type of person that's not invited onto the premises to have that person be forced to honor a no trespassing sign. And I'm not aware of any case that expressly says that in Washington in this context, but I'm not aware of any precedent that says that you can't do that, and I would argue that that's common sense. But again, this is simply an ordinance draft. It's not etched in stone. If the council would like to see some additional changes or revisions or simply not proceed at all, it's certainly within your right to do that. There's nothing in state law that requires you to have an ordinance like this. The concern, if you're going to impose regulations of this type, is to ensure that they're constitutionally defensible. And I believe that the current draft is.
Councilmember Taylor.
Thank you. I do have a question. We can ask for registration. Can you require a license fee?
Typically, the city can require a license fee in almost any context, as long as the license fee is aimed at recouping the city's costs of
permit processing.
Yes. I don't think it would be problematic to require that here, but I can verify that and get back to you.
Okay. That was just if we're going to register, that does take time and effort from city staff, and if we just charge us a registration fee, that would cover the cost of that. That makes sense to me, because we're registering them anyways. To then just get a payment that will recoup that cost makes sense to me.
I'll be happy to confirm that, but my strong assumption is that that would be permissible.
Okay.
Again, because we're only requiring commercial solicitors to register in the first instance. We wouldn't be requiring the non-commercial.
So that would be my one caveat, my one suggestion.
A question with regards to that, and I want to be sure that we use the right term, because you started with license fee, in which I typically associate that with business license fee or so forth. Currently, we just went through last week with an applicant, a business license cannot be issued to anyone who does not have a business in the city of Monroe. So, without a physical address here in Monroe. So it would be a registration fee,
The name needs to be, whether it's registration fee or solicitation license, whatever. I don't know the term, but...
And the purpose of that would be to locate that structure exclusively within the bounds of this ordinance and applies only in this context, and this would be separate and distinct from the city's general business license regulations.
Right.
Well, I would be happy to verify that the fee requirement, if it's just an administrative processing fee recruitment mechanism, would be permissible here and report back to the council the next day.
Councilmember Campbell?
Yeah, I was just going to peddler's license. I have some experience in some of the other surrounding cities on this, in the city of Redmond, city of Redmond. They require what's called a peddler's license if you were to do commercial door-to-door sales within the city limits.
And that's basically what this ordinance needs to do.
Yeah.
Do you know offhand whether or not they charge a fee as part of that specific licensure process?
Yeah, it's nominal. It is nominal. But I, the one that I have the most recent experience with is in discussions with the city of Redmond.
What were you selling?
What's that?
What were you selling?
Goody. Campbell's.
Councilmember Davis.
That's the only thing that says refers to goods, wares, or merchandise in offering or disposing the same for sale. Does this include services?
I always assumed that that would include services, but I can add that to make that clear if that's the council's preference.
Yes,
Yes, please.
Did I make a comment? On page 2 of 4, it says under 5.08020B, the nature of products or services involved.
I think that is the intent. I'll make that clear in the definition of section, if it's in the council's preference.
Anything else, council? Fine, so the recommended motion would be motion to accept as first reading ordinance 004-2012 adopting updated regulations governing door-to-door commercial solicitations.
So moved.
Motion's made by Councilmember Hamper and seconded by Councilmember Tadak. And for the record, the city attorney will read the official ordinance title. It's officially on. Okay.
Ordinance number 004-2012, an ordinance of the City of Monroe, Washington, repealing and enacting Chapter 508 MOC, Solicitors, Peddlers, and Attendant Merchants, adopting updated regulations governing door-to-door commercial solicitations, establishing regulatory definitions, standards of conduct and penalties, providing for servability, and fixing the time when the same shall become effective.
Any other questions for council?
I have for
very well. Okay, all those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? At this point, based on conversation, I'll go ahead and direct city attorney to bring back the ordinance with changes at the first meeting with the changes as proposed and discussed tonight. Okay, moving right along here, we have the draft agenda for February 14th. Administrator Gordon?
I'm just going to back up. Thank you, Mayor. The one item that we have under council member reports is the city policy regarding executive session materials. That's going to take some time for staff to prepare for the attorney. So
that was one of the requests that I move it to an undetermined date in the future. It'll be fine. It'll be okay with me. So.
Okay. It'll probably be the 21st.
Thank you. At a different time is great, yeah.
Sorry, I shouldn't have mentioned it.
That's fine. Okay, draft agenda. Happy Valentine's Day. November 14th, 2012. Final action. We have select design alternative for Fremont Utility Replacement Project. Select email options. And we have design and
construction
division staffing is number 3. That is not included in the draft, but we've added that. And then we talked about this evening adding the 2012 work program for the planning commission. Study session topics. Number 1 is the transportation benefit district. That's something new that we've talked about in the past. We're bringing that forward. We have department reports and the draft agenda for February 21st. Any additions or deletions?
Councilmember Federer.
Did I hear tonight that city staff wanted kind of more clarification about the Kelsey plan, and is that going to be discussed next week as far as what we heard tonight? Are we having a follow-up discussion? It made it sound like that was going to, we needed to make some decisions. I missed that?
Yeah.
Okay, so you're combining it all with the work plan for the planning commission?
Yes, the resolution adding the comprehensive plan changes that we talked about tonight to the docket. So then staff and the
suggestion is maybe to call it out a little bit clearer on the agenda, knowing that there might, seeing that the work plan for the Planning Commission might not give people the indication that we're going to be talking about the Kelsey plan and making substantial changes. And I think for transparency, it might be nice to call it out and just say, you know, if that's going to be a substantial part of that discussion, I believe it needs to be called out publicly a little bit more so it seems more transparent. I'm not sure how other council members, if they want to chime in or...
Next week, there won't be any discussion on North Kelsey plan.
Oh, okay.
There will only be bringing forth the amendment to the 2012 docket to include that as part of the planning commission's order.
I was mistaken thinking that we had to make more of a decision on...
No, it's just, okay. Let's just put it on the docket.
Okay.
Appreciate
it. Okay, thank you. What?
I'm just pointing
that. Okay, thank you for the clarification.
Okay.
Today in America, I'm giving council a heads up on this. We've really been reaching, trying to look at the city holistically in regards to, you know, our process here at City Hall, making it easier for customers and citizens who like to come in and do business with the city. We've been looking at the economic vitality of the city. Mr. Jeff Sachs is now on staff working on economic development on a daily basis for us. And so trying to reach outside the box and look at all sorts of options. We were approached, or I was, several weeks ago in regards to an advertising, essentially, opportunity for the city. A show called Today in America. It's hosted by Terry Bradshaw. They contacted me and asked if I'd do a phone interview. I did that, and they were their discovery team. Found Monroe through articles and the like, and showed interest in Monroe in that we're, you know, setting the pace and doing some real critical things in regards to economic development. They're starting a new series called Hidden Gems, and so they're looking at the United States holistically, finding cities such as Monroe that are ahead of the curve, doing some really important things. So they asked us if we'd be interested in being on one of their segments. We agreed to do another phone interview where the mayor, the police chief, and Jeff Sachs sat in on that interview, and we discussed some of the particulars. This has been moved forward to the city attorney too in regards to a contract they set out. Make no mistake, this is marketing. It's kind of like an infomercial type of a feel. But it does cost the city to participate. The amount is $24,800. Their team would come out and video Monroe, put together a 5-minute segment that would be part of their 30-minute show. And Monroe would be highlighted. It would be up to Monroe to decide what to show, third-party interviews, those types of things. There is quite a little bit of involvement that we would have to take on, quite a little bit of work. I have done research with other cities. There's a city in Oklahoma that is scheduled for the 16th. They've paid their money, and they're very excited about it. It's, again, economic development marketing for them. I've talked to the city in California, and they're scheduled for Thursday of this week to have the film crew there. And they too are very excited. Every experience both of those cities have had thus far has been very professional. We've done, again, quite a little bit of research on this, but again, it is kind of an infomercial. I don't want to advertise it any other way. That's what it is. It's for economic development. It will be broadcast on the Discovery Channel and then CNN World News. I think there's like 30 airings or something like that. I put the information in your packet this evening for council's review. I know it's a lot to go over. But I guess before the staff moves further in this direction, I guess my question to council is this something of interest to council? And if
If so, we can move forward. If we do, I would like to drag our feet just a bit to make sure that the film crews show up at these other cities this week and possibly the 16th. And I think that if we do wait a little bit, the opportunity is still going to be there. If it isn't, it isn't. But quite honestly, I think this is a great opportunity if it all goes as they are advertising.
Something to add is that the city would maintain all rights to copyright material to use as the city sees fit. So we could use that in on our website, make copies, send to businesses, share it with the chamber. We've also discussed that we would reach out to Wendy Becker from the Snohomish to see if they would like to join with the city as well in order to have some exposure for the fairgrounds and some of the things that take place there. The theme, of course, would be centered around our theme, which is The Adventure Starts Here, highlighting some of the activities of this past year, where we're moving forward. But beyond that, also some of the things that we're looking at as it relates to business development here in Monroe and so forth. So, Councilman Gary?
I think Councilman Campos, it's $24,800. I'm not in this field, but that seems like that might be a pretty good deal for producing a video. I would think if we try to do it ourselves, do we have any numbers on what it would cost to do it ourselves? I would think that would be considerably higher than $24,800. But then I'm taking a shot in the dark on that. So.
I haven't received any bids, but again, this is a nationally televised show.
Something that we could put a whole bunch of money into, and we wouldn't get that kind of coverage.
If you look, when I did the research looking at this, the average cost of an infomercial of this caliber is $50,000 to $250,000. So it's a relatively good deal. The other point is, Port Orchard is on their schedule as well, so it's another deficit.
Cool. I'm thinking that this sounds like a pretty good deal, but certainly want to get the extra information that you're looking for.
Yeah, I think the Super Bowl is about $2 million for 30 seconds.
Yeah, and this is 24 for 5 minutes, with multiple broadcastings nationwide. That's pretty cool.
20 something minutes, 30 times 5, whatever it is. Yeah,
sure. 5 minute broadcast on Discovery Channel nationally, and then there's 34 5 minute broadcasts on regional CNN headlines. You get about 3 hours of television.
Councilman Kim?
Thank you. Some of the other research that I've done looking at this, it also occurs on the Travel Channel and some of the other local cable network. The times are kind of odd. I mean, at 4 a.m., I don't think too many people are going to be interested in watching Monroe. So a lot more research needs to be done before we really go forward on this. But it's an interesting concept. And I do like the fact that it's a reasonable price. Thank you.
I like the fact that Monroe controls the content.
The one city in California that is on the books to do this on the 16th, they go to ICSC every year, which is a national convention in Las Vegas, and they have a booth there to market their properties. They're doing the video to bring their as well to their booth, and it'll run continuous. Our finance staff has talked with the auditor in municipal research. There is an RCW 3521703 that allows this type of thing. And then in addition, the auditor said, yes, this is an allowed use of public funds. However, it has to be tied to a city function such as economic development. So we have done that research on these two fronts. They seem to be covered.
Councilman Gill.
was going to say, we focus on just on the broadcast time. You made comment that we retain the rights to the broadcast content, and I think we don't want to overlook as, and actually you just kind of said, how are we going to be able to use that over and over via social media and all that kind of stuff? You covered it, Jim, but I was going to touch on how much I know it. I have to pay for a commercial on a regional, minor, national level. This is a really good deal. And then to be able to use that via our website and social media stuff. So it's more than just that, the time it's being discussed and when it's going to be broadcast.
City Attorney Lau, you've had a chance to review briefly the contract that was sent over. Any comments?
The main concern I have was the issue regarding whether this is an appropriate use of the money. And the staff has apparently researched that and spoken with the state auditor on that point. With respect to the form of the agreement itself, it's an extremely minimalist document. There's much protective legal boilerplate that I would strongly recommend in any city contractual relationship. If someone's going to be shooting cameras in the city of Monroe, should be an indemnification with harmless clause in that to ensure that if they cause a traffic accident or trip and fall, that the city is not going to somehow be held liable for that. And there's a venue clause in the existing document that indicates that any disputes would have to be litigated in Florida, I believe, and subject to Florida law. That's potentially problematic if there's ever a dispute, because the city could easily spend more in attorney's fees and travel costs litigating something across the nation than it's seeking to recover in the underlying lawsuit. So there are some issues like that, and one thing I haven't talked to staff yet, because James waiting for the council to make this preliminary policy determination, is whether we should put together a contract counterproposal using the city's template agreement and see if they today in America also would be amenable to that, or at least some changes to their document.
So tonight the question, as the city attorney well has stated, is if council is interested in moving or having staff move forward and working alongside the attorney to put this together. This is also considered, a marketing service or a service which council, we believe, just approved for the mayor to be able to approve up to $25,000. There was no way I was doing that without council's at least support to move forward. But I guess, what we would look for from you at this time then is to either by motion or consensus to allow me to enter into the agreement, upon which time the city attorney was satisfied with the document. And also, of course, we're waiting for the city in California, which is Thursday, I think the other one's on the 16th. So, so either consensus or motion, or we drop it and we look for another way to.
What kind of motion are you looking for? Authorizing me to spend the $25,000? Or consensus is just saying, we want you to go for it.
Consensus is quite fine. I mean, I don't know. Because we're not going to take action anytime soon. I mean, you got to do what's
going on.
City Administrator, he still had some reservations still. He wanted some things to happen.
Yeah,
where we commit.
Consensus, see, yeah.
Yes. Okay, consensus to move forward, yeah. In addition to what the city attorney had mentioned just now, we're holding back to see what these other cities are a little closer to us say about the process and about the results. Everything to this point, I had done some research and actually found some things that were fairly negative with regards to this. I did more research into the individual who was creating the blogs and found out that, well, not that I discounted his opinion or his thoughts with regards, but I don't think there was anything that the city was going to do that he agreed with. So, but beyond that, both Jeff Sachs and the city administrator Brazel have had a number of conversations
conversations with other jurisdictions, and everything has been very, very positive throughout the processes. So consensus to move forward, I guess, understanding that I would not sign any contract until after we talk to the company and the city attorney has drafted or made the changes to the contract that he feels is in the interest of the city. Councilmember Gary?
Thank you. I'm going to make a motion to extend the meeting past 10 o'clock.
I'll second it.
Motion is made by Councilmember Gary and seconded by Councilmember Camp to extend the meeting beyond 10 p.m. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right, we'll move forward with that. Okay, all right. At this time, then, we do have the need for executive session for two items. Now, I'll have the city attorney read the RCWs pertaining to both of those. What do you anticipate in terms of time for the litigation? 25 minutes.
Pursuant to RCW 4230110(1)(i), the council will adjourn into executive session to discuss pending litigation with legal counsel, and also pursuant to RCW 4230110(1)(f), the council will convene an executive session to receive and evaluate complaints or charges brought against a public officer or employee. The executive session will last approximately 25 minutes, after which the council may take action in open session when it convenes.
All right. Okay, very good. With that said, then, we will go into executive session, and staff. You did, that's right.
Oh, my gosh.
Can we go off on executive session for 1 minute so that anyone's least allowed? Oh, it is. Oh, my bad. I'm sorry. There's three. That's right. Can we move the executive session?
All right.
And to what was the third basis?
Brian.
Oh, that's covered by
the litigation.
Yeah. And there's no need to amend the rooms, so that also falls in the larger heading of potential litigation. Again, the council may take open session action when you reconvene.
Thank you. With that said, before I dismiss staff, if you have anything pressing that you'd like to share afterwards, you'd like to stay until after the executive session. If not, then I think that it would be all right to say goodnight. So then, we will go into executive session in 5 minutes. Okay, we're back in session, and no action is expected by council following the executive session. Do you want to make note that during the first part of three-part executive session, both Councilmember Gary and Councilmember Camp recused themselves from the discussion and rejoined the conversation approximately 20 minutes, I believe, later.
Okay. I just clarify, Mr. Mayor, that both council members physically left the room during that period as well.
Okay. Councilmember Gary?
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Motion to adjourn by Councilmember Gary, seconded by Councilmember Camp.
To me.
Will you adjourn? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.